He was never taught to keep his opinions to himself. That's why we love him. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we're back. Just reading this about Giancarlo Stanton. He, of course, signed a 13-year, $325 million contract with the Marlins last week. Bloomberg's done a breakdown. He's expected to pay $141 million in taxes over the life of the deal. So there you go. $325 million, $141 million. Going to the government over the course of that 13-year contract. I'm one of those people that doesn't think Giancarlo Stanton's going to be with the Marlins. I don't know. I'd give him 4 years. At some point, I think the Marlins will move on, even before the player's opt-out clause. I just see that's the way the Marlins under Jeffrey Loria do business. And if Giancarlo Stanton's as good as a lot of people think he is, as much as that contract looks like a huge nut, there'll be some team that'll be willing to take it on. If he has the type of years, if he has the type of seasons that he's capable of having, and the Marlins decide for whatever reason, God only knows what exactly goes into the Marlins thinking all the time. If they decide they have to move him out, I think there'll be somebody who'll take on that big contract. Anyhow, Cliff Floyd played for the Miami Marlins when they were called the Florida Marlins. He played for the Mets. He played for the Expos. He's now an analyst for MLB Network, and he's also an entrepreneur. He and his father-in-law are peddling this drywall axe idea, which we had in studio during Baseball Central, and I believe it's available at several hardware stores around Canada. I know this. Cliff Floyd and his father-in-law were on Dragon's Den, and that show will be seen tonight on CBC. I'm sure Cliff isn't going to tell us how the outcome of what the outcome of the show was, but I'm hoping, Cliff, that you'll tell us why the hell you were wearing a Mets jersey. you know you're going to hear about that.
Of course, but I think at the end of the day, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I had the Expo jersey, and to be honest with you, wholeheartedly, the hat didn't fit my head, so I couldn't wear the jersey and the hat. So it was one of those things. I had the Mets jersey, and you know, I got a lot of flack because I actually put it out there, and you know, the Mets faithful were like, listen, you got to wear a Mets jersey. You know, so Jeff, you know, I mean, you know, I know I'm aware a little bit, but of course, with the show being here in Ontario, in Canada, I should have thought, you know, thought it over again.
You know, I'm kidding, Cliff.
Of course.
Okay, good.
Saying, I just, you know, when you're in Canada, you should show some love, of course, to the Expos, and I should have had the Expo jersey on.
Could have been worse. You could have had a Marlins jersey.
If that would have happened, I probably would have got executed.
But. Yeah, no, that was not good. It looks like it was a lot of fun. I watched the...
It was amazing. Yeah, it was truly amazing. Of course, I'm definitely not going to tell you what happened.
No. We'll watch it. CBC tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, just... I think the biggest thing was, you know, it's been 3 years, and you know, with the company we deal with over in King City here in Ontario, you know, Sparks Innovations and what they've been able to do with Bob and who's the owner there, he's been truly amazing. Of course, Adam, you know, my partner has been we've been through so much that, you know, it's all coming to, you know, to light, and I invite you out tonight. I mean, it's over at Boston Pizza in Aurora at 7 p.m. If you want to come, you and Trav, y'all come on over, man.
I got a family thing tonight.
Of course you do, Jeff. I mean, why would I?
I've got to spend some time with my family.
Yeah, listen, I understand. I know your job is, you know, it calls for you to be away from the family a lot. So
Travis will go though.
Trav, come on out, man.
Yeah, Travis will be there for sure.
Bring the whole clan. I saw the whole crew. Bring everybody back there.
Travis will go.
It'll be cool.
You have to fix Travis up though.
What, up with some pizza?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, hook him up. Okay.
Yeah, hook him up.
Okay,
sorry.
Hook him up. Hey, I don't know who's coming. I know wifey's here with me. She's coming. And you know, wifey don't have a lot of friends here. So I don't
wifey?
Know
you call her wifey?
Yeah, wifey. Yeah, you know. What's wrong with that, Jeff? Wifey?
Well, I mean, if I called my wife.
If I said baby mama, it'd be.
Well, now, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right?
I know. It's just if I called my wife wifey, I'd be on the floor.
Well, definitely don't call her baby mama then.
No, I would never do that. Anyhow, so there you go. 8 o'clock at Dragon's Den tonight.
Yeah. 7 o'clock at Boston Pizza in Aurora. That's
7 o'clock.
That's the watch party, man.
The watch party. Okay, the watch party's from 7 to 10 at Boston Pizza in Aurora. Very good. Let's talk a little baseball. I want to talk to you about the Giancarlo Stanton contract in particular. That, I mean, that's a part of the country you're familiar with.
Yeah.
That's a team you're familiar with. I understand the Marlins. I think the Marlins had to sign. They had to sign Giancarlo Stanton. But, Cliff, do you see this ending any other way than it usually ends with Jeffrey Loria? And that is, at some point in the next 3 years, Giancarlo's going to get a call from Loria or David Sampson. Thanks for everything you've done for us. We just pulled off a deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. You're going to Milwaukee.
I've listened to you for a long time. Agree with pretty much everything you've said. And going back to our Montreal days, but this is one where I'm gonna have to disagree.
You think the Marlins are good for this?
I really do, and the reason. That I disagree, and I look at the whole contract, and I look at the whole structure of it, and the $107 million paid out for the first 6 years. I'm thinking that's reasonable. They can deal with that. You know, it's not a ton. I mean, well, he's making Jeff $6 million next year, and then mm-hmm. 14. So it wasn't no contracts when you look at the Marlins and go, if you allow us to build this team around you by taking less money for the first few years, then it puts you in a position to get all this money to end your career with one team, all the things that Giancarlo it means a lot to him, I think, by taking a 13-year deal, it allows the Marlins to grow and be the team that he wants them to be as this thing moves towards, you know, year 7, 8, 9, 10, when it gets to that point where it's winding down. So that's why I look at it and go, you know, if it was one of those contracts that was just 25 across or 20, mm-hmm. however it would annually, you know, average out, then I would think that, you know what, you're right, you're onto something. They just are not going to be able to put a team around him that's going to allow him to stay here for the length of the contract. So that's why I look at this whole, you know, 13-year deal, this crazy amount of money. And by the way, the $141 million tax is just ridiculous. Let's just get that out the way anyway. But then just to add on to what the Marlins are doing, I just believe they're going to be able to field a team around him or at least get people to entertain coming to Florida, which I think at some point that definitely will happen. Whether that be, I won't necessarily look at a home run hitter, but guys who can flat out play the game, who can hit, mm-hmm. who can be the guys that can be a gap type of players and sort of surround themselves around him so he can be the prolific, you know, hitter that we know. So I really believe once it gets to that point, Jeff, when it gets to that 6 years and that's when the money starts to really kick in, he's not going to give that money away. He'd be 31 years old. You're talking about a guy that's been beat up in his career before, and you have a ton of money left on the table. I don't know who out there will give him another, 7 years for $200-plus million. I don't think that'll happen when we've seen these contracts, sort of unfold with some of the, you know, superstars that were in the past when you talk about Pujols and some of these guys who sort of declined a little bit.
Cliff Floyd joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Giancarlo Stanton, of course, hit in the face last year. He's coming off that. You know both of these sides pretty well.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that this deal came together the way it did? And by that I mean, did you think that maybe the Marlins would be a little reluctant to make that offer without seeing how this guy is going to respond to that pitch?
Yeah, no, I really did. I thought it was definitely a must. I do agree with you at that point. I really do. I think when you look at the Marlins and what they had to do to sort of be able to at least, you know, I mean, at some point you have to get some fans in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at having to sign Giancarlo Stanton, yes, you had to. Looking at how they signed him, I was definitely, you know, taken back by that. I think you definitely want to see, and, you know, you and I, we've been around this game a long time. you know, it's sort of a must from an ownership standpoint before you make that commitment. See what a guy is going to be once he's come back from, especially what he's come back from, being hit in the face. Now you've seen injuries where you see guys come back from rotators and knees, and you go, well, I want to see you run. Okay, that's fine. You can see me run in off season and see that my speed's back. No, I want to see you throw. Okay, that's great. Let me see if your shoulder's back, and you can go out here and throw some balls long distance on the field, around the corner from the house, send the trainers down, and you back to 100%. But I can't see you be in game action, you know, before spring training starts.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that. So I would think that you want to see him back in the box where you at least have an idea that, you know what, he's not afraid of that ball that's inside. And you and I both, again, know that when you go to spring training, it's a total different ball game, Jeff. It's day game baseball. You're getting the glares. The sun is out shining. It's not easy to see a baseball, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I think that's what I want to see from Giancarlo. I think that's what everybody's going to see, but definitely strange that they sign him without seeing, how he come back from that.
Yeah, my concern would be that first live BP if he's in against some guy still trying to find his still trying to find his range, still trying to find his control.
I would say he's not going to be in those.
Yeah,
I mean these are the type of situations where, you know, had he not been hit in the face, oh, of course. I mean he's definitely in there just like everybody else. We're wearing it. We pitchers go to spring training 2 weeks before we get there as hitters, so they're already ahead of the schedule. They're ahead of the game. So when I get in the box, I know he's going to wear me out. But, you know, it's been numerous times where I've stepped in that box and you go, holy cow, that ball just missed me. Yeah, because it's not normal. You have a cage over you as a hitter. You have the L screen up as a pitcher. You have the pitching coach standing on the mound. I mean, everything is not – it's not baseball. It's sort of getting guys ready. And it's always terrifying when you have a guy that's trying to make the team, throwing 100, and don't know where it's going.
Cliff Floyd joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The other news, of course, the past couple of days, the Boston Red Sox essentially buying up the free agent market, Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval. It's a good-looking lineup right now. It appears as if they'll move Yoenis Cespedes. Hanley will probably go to the outfield. They'll probably hang on to Xander Bogaerts. At least that's probably their best-case scenario. What do you make of those signings? And in particular, Hanley. I think a lot of people have some concerns about whether or not that Hanley Ramirez signing won't turn into another Adrian Gonzalez situation for the Red Sox. I think a lot of people look at Pablo Sandoval and go, okay, he'll do what he does and he'll be able to get by and he'll probably love life hitting a Fenway Park. But I think there's concern about Hanley Ramirez. How do you read that?
Definitely. Again, shocked at the thought that Ben Cherington and the Boston Red Sox believe that you can just take a guy who is 31 years of age, never played the outfield, just goes to the outfield and tries to man the left field of Fenway Park. I've been there. It's not easy. I look at this as strange. I don't know how it's going to unfold, Jeff. I believe that when you look at Poppy, David Ortiz, I don't know if he's going to play beyond, next year or if he's going to be in a Boston Red Sox uniform. I don't know how that's going to be. Maybe you move, Panda to DA. I don't know. It's just too many I don't knows. Too many questions when you look at this roster now. And if you think that Hanley is going to be able to squat in the outfield, then think again. This is not that easy. I don't care who you are. You just don't. I know it's a work in progress, and I know when you get to spring training. But you're talking about the mega media of the world. I mean, they will wear you out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not that easy to make that transition. And, do I think he's better suited to play shortstop? No, we've seen that. He's just not that good over a shortstop. I believe he's definitely a really good hitter. I believe he hasn't lost the speed, so he can still run and do some things that's be definitely productive for you. I just look at this and go, how do you believe that it's better to sign a Hanley Ramirez and let go of a Cespedes? I don't get that. That to me just makes no sense. But at the end of the day, they know better than us, I guess. And, you sign a guy Hanley, you give him a ton of money. And I just don't understand, unless something we're missing with Cespedes, unless there's something out there that, you see a team in Oakland get rid of their number four hitter, and what happens, Jeff? They go down the tube.
Yep.
Right? They flat out fall off the earth. And then you see a team in Boston looking for offense, and yeah, you go out and get Panda, which I think is great. I think Pennington will be a good move for them. I think they're going to love having him there. I think, you know, just what he brings, you know, in the playoffs is enough for me. But throughout the season, it's a guy that is out to prove that, you know what, you can talk about his weight and all this stuff. The guy comes to play every day. Hanley has been beat up, and I just think when you're talking about a guy that's dealt with some of the issues he's dealt with and putting him in the outfield, it's just not that easy because it's more to do in the outfield. I know you want him to just make the easy play, but it's more to that. You're expected on a team like Boston to lay out for balls. You're expected to do different things in a place like that, and I don't know if it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I spoke to a guy who scouted for a team that was interested in Hanley Ramirez, and he made the point that in his report, he said, and in their own discussions, they looked at him as possibly moving to first base. And the same thing you said. He said left field of Fenway Park. He said, you know, it's a great bat to get in the lineup, but I know they've got Mike Napoli at first base, but this guy said, hey, that's where we projected, and we projected a move to first base because he's got his feet are quick enough and he's got infielder's instincts, so we can put him there. You don't have to worry about range as much as you do at shortstop, and I found that kind of interesting. I don't know, maybe that's something that hasn't been explored enough yet. Maybe that's where he'll end up ultimately.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. All eyes will be on him in spring training, and the one thing that as a veteran player you always treasure, and I don't care who you are, you treasure it. And if you don't, then something wrong with you. You treasure going to spring training and working yourself up to plan opening day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you treasure. When you get to that point where, you know, the manager says to you, how many at-bats you need early in the season, how many at-bats you need midway through spring, and then, you know, handcuffs are off, you're going to play every game leading up to opening day. We all get that. Now you have to play on the backfield, B games, and outfield. You have to get more reps out there, you know, during spring. So many things going to a 31-year-old body that's been beat up. You know, let's not forget, you know, it's not been a guy that's been, you know, out there 160 games throughout, you know, the last few years. This guy's been beat up. So now you're expecting him to go out in spring training and get all his work in to take balls off the bat consistently after BP, to do these things in camp. And I'm just saying, is it doable? Yes. Is it going to be hard on his body? 100%.
Cliffy, it was good to talk to you, man. Best of luck tonight on Dragon's Den. And, again, the viewing party from 7 to 10 p.m. at Boston Pizza in Aurora. And we'll be in touch, my friend. Have a good Thanksgiving.
No doubt, JB. Thank you.
Take care. It's Cliff Floyd, MLB analyst on the MLB Network. You can follow him on Twitter at CliffFloyd30. And, of course, Cliff, his father-in-law, on Dragon's Den tonight. They presented the drywall axe, which you saw on Baseball Central. And go on YouTube and check out the clip of Cliff right now. And, well, after our show. Well, after Hockey Central. You know what I mean. At some point, go and check out the clip of Cliff Floyd. It's very funny. Let's just say that Arlene Dickinson loved his ring. Joe Siddle's our Blue Jays radio analyst. I don't know why you guys are looking at me like that. I did that. It was his ring. He showed her his World Series ring, for God's sake, and I'm getting laughed at. Joe Siddle, our Blue Jays radio analyst, joins us in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Mr. Siddle, how are you?
I'm very good, Jeff. How are you doing?
What do you think of Cliff Floyd going on CBC wearing a Mets jersey?
Well, I know what I'm doing this evening. I'm going to plant myself in the family room and turn on the TV and watch a little Cliff Floyd.
He's going to – the whole country is going to be on his ass for wearing the Mets jersey.
That's hard to take. Here we are in Canada. He can't pull out an Expos something.
Well, he claimed that the hat didn't fit his head.
I heard that, and you know what? I believe it.
Actually, I was going to say that's probably true. So we actually talked to Cliff about the Boston Red Sox signing yesterday. Clearly, the Red Sox are going to be the team that drives the market this year. There's their John Henry, their owner, has come out today and said that we will go over the luxury tax if we have to sign John Lester. I think it's safe to say the Red Sox didn't take too kindly to finishing in last place in the American League East last year. But, Joe, as you look at these moves, signing Pablo Sandoval, signing Hanley Ramirez, the talk about moving Hanley Ramirez to left field at Fenway Park. Cliff knows from playing left field at Fenway Park, that's not the easy transition that a lot of people think it is. What do you make of these Red Sox moves?
Well, you know, we talked about it how often in the second half of the season when Boston was continuing to go down. We knew that that was an opportunity last year for the Blue Jays to take advantage of that while the Yankees were down, while the Red Sox were down, because you knew they were going to retool, and now we're seeing it. And Boston's not going to wait around too long in fifth place in the AL East. So you're starting to see it now, and I think they're far from done, much like we saw with the Blue Jays in their move for Russell Martin. We've talked about that before. I think Toronto's far from done, too. So Boston's got lots to shore up, of course, with their pitching staff. There's not a whole lot there right now. Buchholz and Joe Kelly's there, Ruby De La Rosa. But it gets pretty thin. So I think there's still lots to be done. They've got a lot of chips there. And, you know, I like what Cliff had to say there regarding playing left field. And at Fenway Park, you can't just throw a guy out there like Hanley Ramirez and think he's going to do an adequate job. A lot of times we think that in baseball. Just throw somebody, kind of hide him out in left field. Or, you know, the old go play first base for a day. Well, the ball really does find you in this game. And they're more important positions than you think. You can't just hide out there one day.
I think a lot of us will look at the two signings. Pablo Sandoval, to me, makes a lot of sense. He's, you know, just the basis of his personality. He's a little bit like David Ortiz. He'll probably embrace the market. Fans love him. It's a grass field, all that good stuff. And as Cliff Floyd said, you've got to think that Big Pappy is probably going to pack it in at some point in the next 2 years. So if you absolutely have to, you can put Pablo Sandoval at DH. But, you know, I look at Hanley Ramirez. He's played in Florida. He went to L.A. L.A.'s a big media market, but there's not a lot of newspapers that cover the Dodgers. It's not the same. There's not the same focus in the team as you get in Boston, where it's life and death and the reporters are in your face every day. I think of the two, the Hanley Ramirez signing is way more of a gamble, don't you?
Well, I would think so, too, and I think the health is certainly an issue, and you know how fans and the media take to players that continually get hurt, and we've talked about players in general, whether players are injury-prone or whatever, but he's had his issues, and now if you're talking about throwing him into left field at Fenway Park, which we said, and we talked to the Red Sox, talked to John Farrell and some of the Red Sox coaches last year, when they talked about Cespedes when he came to Boston, and he certainly had his struggles playing that Green Monster, so much so that they were talking about a move to right field this year anyway, whether he's still with Boston, we'll see, but it'll be very difficult for Hanley. It's going to be different. And when you play in a large market like L.A., of course, he's got that experience. But as you said, there's a whole lot of coverage there with the Red Sox and Red Sox Nation. And it'll be very interesting to see what kind of adjustment he has to make. But bottom line is he's going to have to be on the field. And, you know, with the Panda, he's lovable, of course, and he's done so well, especially in the postseason. And I think that's an absolute no-brainer that you're probably going to see him take over for David Ortiz probably halfway through this contract as the designated hitter.
Joe Siddle joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We've had some time now to digest the signing of Russell Martin by the Blue Jays, and we await the Blue Jays' next move. Joe, what do you think the Blue Jays' next move has to be? Let's leave aside. I think we all agree the next move should be getting an answer on Melky Cabrera one way or another. But let's leave that aside. What do you think the next move is for the Blue Jays?
Well, I think they're going to have to attack that bullpen, and the way you do that probably is look at some of the possible spare parts. And, you know, with Russell Martin on board now, it certainly makes Deonor Navarro expendable. And that's a good player for somebody at $5 million. You've got a catcher that can perhaps split time, I would say even more than a backup, but maybe split time somewhere. Pretty good offensive player, of course, at $5 million, and maybe then get a good bullpen arm in return. I'm not sure what the market will be for that. Certainly the surplus of starting pitching is a plus that the Blue Jays do have. You can talk about, again, the R.A. Dickey-Josh Tolley tandem. Mm-hmm. I think he's very affordable for a team that's in the mix and competing. Wouldn't you love to have an R.A. Dickey, maybe a four in your rotation? So those kinds of guys could bring some things back, but we know, Jeff, we talked about it all year. That bullpen has got to get shored up, and it's not a place where you generally go into the free agent market for it. You try to find good, solid guys because relievers are funny birds. Good year, bad year, you just don't know what you're going to get. But what you want to probably get is some sort of veteran, solid big league arm and not have to count on guys coming up from Buffalo all the time.
Yeah, I would think if I'm the Blue Jays, we know they've got needs insofar as positions are concerned. We know they need at least one more outfielder and at least one more second baseman. One second baseman, one infielder, I should say. But my other concern, Joe, pardon me, my other concern is they've got a crying need for a real authoritative left-handed bat right now.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is when you have the right-handed bats that they have, and we saw last year what happened with the left-handed hitters, and it actually became a problem because mm-hmm. the Blue Jays faced a left-handed pitcher. You know, you had Colby Rasmus, Juan Francisco, Adam Lind. These guys just, they almost couldn't play. It got so bad. So really, when you have right-handers, and I say that because the difference with right-hand hitters and left-hand hitters is dramatic. Most right-hand hitters can handle right-handed pitching,
yeah.
whereas lefties have the trouble against lefties. It's just traditional in baseball, and we see it all the time. So I would rather be right-handed heavy. I don't think that's a problem if you've got right-handers that can hit righties. It's much less of a problem than it is when you have lefties loading up against left-handed pitchings, because it got to a point where you could just see opposing managers drooling. They'd get their lefty up in the bullpen and just know that they were going to force John Gibbons to make a move.
Joe, it was great of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff, take care.
You be well. That is Joe Siddall, Blue Jays analyst on our telecast, or on our broadcast, I should say, alongside Jerry Howarth and Mike Wilner. And, of course, he was my co-host on Baseball Central along with Kevin Barker this year as well. Interesting take, I think, on the signing of Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez. I think we're all in agreement that it's funny because people are going to look at Pablo Sandoval's body and they're going to look at Hanley Ramirez and they're going to go, how the hell can you be looking at the guy who frankly looks like me? I mean, he's a soft body, big gut. How can you look at him and say that he's going to be, you know, he's less of a gamble than Hanley Ramirez? Well, Pablo Sandoval is one of those fat guys who's an athlete. And he profiles well in that ballpark. I love Hanley Ramirez's game. I really do. But I look at Hanley Ramirez in some ways like Jose Reyes. Over the life of that contract, I don't want him at shortstop. I think there's too much diminishment in his range and too much of a diminishment in his skills to play shortstop. And left field's the obvious answer for Hanley Ramirez, unless it's first base, in which case they'd have to move Mike Napoli. But at least at the start, we're probably looking at left field. You know, you're asking a guy to run a lot. You're asking a guy to track down balls. I would have a lot of concern about that. That's why part of me thinks that this whole idea that Jonas Cespedes is the guy who's obviously going to be moved, I wonder if the Red Sox wouldn't look at hanging on to him and maybe moving Hanley to first base, which, as I said, something the Dodgers thought about with Hanley Ramirez. As they looked down the road and as they tried to profile where he would, which position he could man as he got older and as the range diminished, there was a lot of thought that Hanley Ramirez could make a move to first base. He's an athletic enough guy. He's got a good throwing arm. He could certainly make the throw across the diamond from first base, first to third, if you wanted him to do that. But there was some talk in L.A. about possibly moving him to first base as a way of sort of preserving his legs and helping him keep his body intact through the season. Tim Raines is the Toronto Blue Jays outfield and base running coordinator. He's also on the Hall of Fame ballot for the eighth year. He finished eighth in last year's ballot, got 46.1% of the votes, or appeared in 46.1% of ballots, I should say, actually decreased from the year before, which is just freaking ludicrous. Tim Raines is going to go into the Hall of Fame. I truly believe that. He is a guy who will get into the Hall of Fame. It's going to take a while. It may take a couple more ballots. It will definitely take a couple more ballots. And the ballots are getting heavier. The ballots, especially this year's ballot, they're full of a lot of real worthy candidates. But I still believe that at some point Tim Raines is going to be the guy who gets in. Tim Raines should be Hall of Famer. We'll join the Jeff Blair Show at 11:40.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, quickly. It's the best Tom Petty song. Is it this or American Girl? Let's see what folks are saying on Twitter about that. think it's probably still American Girl. This is right up there, though. Last Dance with Mary Jane would only be chosen by someone your age. Travis. Hockey Central at noon is just around the corner. It'll be Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. Craig Simpson will join the boys at 12:15. Craig Simpson, of course, Rogers analyst in Hockey Night in Canada. So, again, Craig Simpson, 12:15, and Millard, Kiprios, and McLean in Hockey Central. Probably lots of Edmonton Oilers talk, I would imagine, given the 3-2 loss to the Dallas Stars and the type of game that would absolutely just drive a coach, a guy who'd coached like McLean, nuts to lose a game that way. Bad line changes, fluky goal, just awful, awful defensive zone coverage. So I'm sure McLean, Kiprios, and Millard will have something to say about that. Craig Simpson as well, former Edmonton Oiler, joining them at 12:15. It is that time of year. It is Baseball Hall of Fame voting time, which is a bit like shooting fish in a barrel if you host a talk show. I mean, everybody's got an opinion on people on the ballot itself, and on the people who do the voting. And more, it's the people who do the voting that seem to be part of the narrative more than anything else. This is a tough Hall of Fame ballot. I'm one of those people that I don't think I've ever used my full 10 allotted names per ballot. This year, it's going to be hard not to. Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, Carlos Delgado. Holdovers include Craig Biggio, who I would think probably gets in this time. And our next guest, who, well, A, I think he should have been in the Hall of Fame already. B, saw his vote total slip from over 50% to 46% last year. And historically, if you get 50% from the BBWAA in Hall of Fame voting, generally you get elected. And you know, one of the flaws in this process is the fact that a guy gets a vote one year and he doesn't get a vote the next year. But beyond that, now you add in the fact that the Hall of Fame has reduced the years of eligibility from 15 down to 10. And those of us who have been hammering the table for Tim Raines to get into the Hall of Fame, I mean, I've got to tell you, we've got a real task in front of us right now. And Tim Raines, who is now the outfield and base running coordinator for the Toronto Blue Jays, but is very much a Hall of Famer in my mind. Tim Raines joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Tim, thanks so much for doing this today.
What's going on, Jeff?
You know, I mean, I'm looking. I got the ballot here. What's your gut feel here? You've got 3 more years. You think it's gonna be hard to make it?
I think it's gonna be tough. I mean, you know, it's a difficult process. You know, if you're not like a first or second ballot guy, you know, you have. You know, different guys coming on every year, and they have guys who have, you know, in previous years be close and not get in, and a lot of times those guys get in. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, the whole process is, you know, like they say, it's the toughest, one of the toughest Hall of Fames to get in all of sports.
Do you think, Tim, that people overthink their ballots, that Hall of Fame voters overthink their ballots? You know, it used to be, and again, the ballots are a lot more crowded now, but I can remember that you would get your Hall of Fame ballot, you'd look at it, and you'd go, hey, this guy, Hall of Famer, 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 there's my ballot. I mean, you would just, Peter Gammons had a line, I don't know what a Hall of Famer is, I can't describe it to you, I can't write out a description, I can't, you know, I can't draw a diagram of what a Hall of Famer is. All I know is that I know a Hall of Famer when I see it, when I see one. And now people start getting into the numbers more. Do you think people pay too much attention to that they overanalyze this?
I think it's come down to that. And I think a lot of that has come down to, like, the way organizations are running their franchises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the Moneyball teams, and stats. Not so much the stats itself, but, you know, how a guy played in the daytime against nighttime, you know, how he plays from the seventh inning on, and you know, how pitchers pitch from the first inning to like the seventh inning and all of that stuff. And you know, they have stats for everything now. I mean, I see all these abbreviations. I don't know what half of them mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there is a meaning for all of them, but I mean, you know, it's come down to that. It's not so much any X's and O's, you know, a good player, a bad player, or borderline player, or, you know, it comes down to, you know, the stat itself. And, you know, guys are getting paid by stats more than, you know, I can look at a player. I don't need to know any stats, but I can look at a player for about a week and I can tell if he's a good player or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't look at it that way. They look at their stats and they say, okay, you're a first-round pick because of your stats. Not because of, you know, what you do or your makeup or what type of person you are. And that's the way baseball has come down to.
Hey, Tim, your numbers compare so favorably to Ricky Henderson, who is a, you know, slam dunk Hall of Famer. Why do you think there are people out there who don't vote for you?
Well, I don't know. I think maybe, you know, people don't remember that, you know, when it came during our era, it was me and him.
Yep.
You know, and that's all you talked about. We were the two, you know, the top leadoff guys in baseball. And you know, and since that time, you can't even find one guy to actually compete to what we did back in those days. So I don't know. I think maybe it's, you know, a little more notoriety. I don't know, not so much because he was in Oakland, but, I mean, Ricky's, you know, stole 100 bases two or three times. I didn't, but you still, if you looked at the, not so much the stolen base itself, all of the other things, we really were one and two.
Mm. Tim Raines joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I want to get your take very quickly on some of the guys in the Blue Jays organization as well. We spent a lot of time talking about Dalton Pompey here. I don't know, how familiar are you with Dalton, and do you see him as a guy who could make it in the majors this year?
Oh, definitely. He's right there. You're talking about a guy last year started in high A ball,
and
worked his way to the big leagues. I mean, that doesn't happen too often. And when that does happen, you know, you know that guy has a chance to be a really, really good major league ball player.
Tim, listen, I wish we had more time to talk. We're going to keep pushing your Hall of Fame candidacy, though. And I know that people like Jonah Carey, there'll be a lot of people out there on Twitter pushing it. So all the best. Enjoy Thanksgiving, and we'll see what we can do, man.
Hey, yeah, thanks for all you guys' help, man. I really appreciate all the work that you've done helping me out. And hopefully one of these days we'll get it done.
Absolutely. Take care, Tim.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
It's Tim Raines, Blue Jays. Base running instructor, base running coordinator, I should say, and outfield instructor as well. Interesting take on Dalton Pompey. And yeah, look, I make the point. I think anybody, I just thought that as more and more of the quote unquote steroid guys came in the ballot, a guy like Tim Raines, people would take a look at his career, review his career, and look at it more favorably because of the type of player he was. I just think a lot of those players in that time in the late 70s and 80s are so undervalued by Hall of Fame voters. I think that situation needs to be addressed. We're going to give away Bills tickets right now. What do we say, the 30th caller in honor of Tim Raines? Tim Raines' number is 30. So the 30th caller through at 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 30th caller through gets a couple of tickets to see the Bills play the Cleveland Browns. Big game on Sunday. Weather's supposed to be okay, not supposed to be too cold. That those tickets also include a pass to the Rogers Tap House as well. So you can get yourself all fixed up before the game. Again, 30th caller through at 416-870-0590. Star 591, 888-666-0590. 30th caller through gets a couple of tickets to see the Bills and Browns. Tim and Sid will give away some tickets today. We'll give away on Tim and Sid, the Blair Show, and Brady and Walker all week long. We'll be giving away two tickets to see that game, Bills and Browns. That's it for me. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Enjoy the hockey. Enjoy the basketball as well tonight. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.